Welcome to Outsiders Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Woodall, and to my straight, I mean my left.
Thank you. Straight Bryce Armstrong. To my front.
You have beautiful
Actually,
eyes.
My front is Brett this time because I'm angled weird. No. Actually, I guess you are to my left.
Yeah. So is the Buffalo.
Well, he's to my left behind.
No, we're not talking about that.
Your left behind.
Not doing eschatology. We're still in the seven deadly sins.
That's been canceled.
Oh, sorry. To my Andrew.
Happy Yeri.
You didn't even get my compliment.
What'd you say?
So you have beautiful eyes.
Thank you. Aw.
Aw.
Sweet. I'm feeling extra Sweet emotional boy. After watching Love on the Spectrum. So.
You cry, baby. Anyways.
I'm Andrew McKinley. And this is the man to my left.
Brett Welty, and to my left,
Jim Cole.
And we are here recording once again
a podcast
for your pleasure,
for your ears to listen,
and
foggy
for your eyes to wonder what we look like. Unless I mean, you already know what we look like.
Yeah, we have a YouTube.
Some people might not know that.
We do.
Hey, check us out on YouTube.
They don't know what Jim looks like though. He wasn't there
yet. You'll see a really interesting view of my face.
You'll see a fatter or nope. I'm fatter now. Never mind.
I was fatter then.
I'm definitely fatter now.
I shaved my beard then.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
It's like looking at an untreated stump.
Untreated stump.
It's kind of what you look like now.
No, I don't. I got muscles. I've been working my muscles.
What kind of stump are we talking about?
I'm sweating.
Who
oh,
knows?
My gosh. We
like
just
an amputee?
Started.
Or are we talking about a tree? Or like what's going on?
We'll leave it up to the audience to decide that one.
You know what? Actually, if you could, just humor us. Go to our YouTube, our old YouTube
Please.
Videos. Find the one
Please.
Or 12. No, there's like six of them of you with just shaved. There's just a, tell us what
wasn't
you
that
think.
Manny.
Just say, that man is ugly.
No, don't say that. Just a, go.
Oh, you can tell me.
Comment
I'll appreciate
on,
it.
Comment on this video so we know. Because I'm not going to go back and look at our YouTube until I have to.
I'm subscribed.
I don't go there. It's Aww. Scary.
You unsubscribe from our YouTube?
I said and subscribe.
Oh, and subscribe.
No, I did unsubscribe. I didn't want to see that anymore.
It's really sad. Like, because of your stumpy
my
face?
Stupid face.
Don't you see that every day?
Yeah, but I'm not shaving my beard again.
Oh, well, I've heard you say that before. And then you shaved it again. And then you said it again. You're like, okay, I'm never doing this again. And then you did it
again. I do miss the hair. My hair was nice. I had really long hair then.
Yeah, and then you keep shaving your head.
Andrew, do you have something for us?
I do. I got.
You have something great for us?
I have, in honor of our subject this evening, we've got some animal trivia.
No.
Why do you do the things?
It's sloth.
That
it's like a sloth.
Sloth.
My favorite. That's my favorite animal.
Yeah.
Three-toed sloth?
Mm-hmm.
Sid.
Sure.
So let's just get right into it.
Flash? Is Flash three-toed sloth?
I think you think
From so. Zootopia?
I think you're thinking Sonic.
Flash, Robert 100 Lee. Meter dash, or whatever they say.
Who cares?
Anyway, wow.
Does he look like this?
I don't know. I've only been listening to it in the car because my kids are watching it.
Gotcha. All right. First question. What is the slowest land animal?
Andrew McKinley.
Yes.
It's not the sloth?
Maybe. The three-toed sloth.
Yes, it is.
Oh,
there. Yeah, we got the first one done already.
What's the fastest? This is the fastest we've ever answered a question.
Yeah. What's the fastest land animal?
The cheetah.
Nice.
Not Andrew McKinley.
A hummingbird.
Oh, I mixed two questions together. I thought it was going to say that their top speed was between 2 and 40 miles per hour. Like they can't go one, but I was reading the next question. they are incapable of going that slow. How many? Okay, this is a good one. I didn't know this one. How many toes does a guinea pig have?
What?
In total.
Four.
Seven.
In total.
That would mean one per foot.
Let's go 16.
I'm saying seven.
I'm going to say three. I'm going to say 21.
Three?
No. 21. Three times four is not 21. Seven times. I'll take seven a foot. 21.
I mean, 28. 40.
The answer is 14.
Okay. Oh, Jim was so close.
Which means that they don't have. So there are four on their front feet and only three on their back.
Oh.
Yeah.
Weirdos.
Yeah. Gross.
Who designed this thing?
The Lord.
The Lord.
He designed this.
He had a reason. He had a reason. Just like when he made ants, he's like, they're going to be so strong. But so
kangaroo.
Tiny.
Or kangaroo.
Oh, no. Those are scary.
Yeah, they're scary.
Kangaroos square up. Which animal has the highest resting blood pressure?
A bear.
Me.
Highest resting blood pressure?
Like the highest like healthy blood pressure numbers.
I don't know.
It's oddly specific.
It's a land animal?
Can you give us a category? Because this is so vague.
Is it a biped?
Quadruped.
Hmm. 4 feet.
So that means it's not humans.
Or
a lion.
Or the one of seven elephant. Animals that walks on their 2 feet.
Elephant. That's a good one.
I'm going to go with... I got nothing.
Yeah.
A mouse.
I'm sticking with a lion.
I'm going to go mouse.
The giraffe.
What?
I was it's got to pump that blood all
the way up the
neck
and back. Yeah, their numbers are usually 280 over 180.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah, and that's like healthy.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
Sorry, animals are just stupid.
I was going to say, when I had that blood pressure,
the Lord made all of those. What is the largest land mammal?
Blue whale.
Land mammal.
I said what I said.
If you try hard enough, you can make a whale a land animal.
You're just a quitter, Bryce. You're just a quitter.
Yeah, quitting.
You're right. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Elephant.
Yeah, it's got to be an elephant.
It is an elephant. It's a specific one.
A woolly mammoth.
Yes. No.
They're coming back.
Was it the African elephant?
The African bush elephant. That's right. Yep. Jim got that one.
Good job, Jim.
What's the smallest land mammal?
A mouse.
No, they're smaller ones. What's that little
hummingbird?
No, it looks like a mouse. It's a
gerbil.
It's got no feet.
Oh
no, smaller. It weighs like 2 grams.
Oh my god!
Naked mole rat.
I'm talking about you.
Those are actually kind of big. Jim's like heading down the right path.
Yeah, it looks like a mouse. It's really tiny. Weighs just a few grams.
So it is actually a flying creature, but it's a mammal.
Oh, flying squirrel.
That's not.
So you were close though, because you're thinking of like a
shrew.
A shrew, yeah. But there's one that's smaller.
What is it?
It's called the Kitty's Hog-Nosed Bat.
Yeah, I never would have had that.
And it is also known as the Bumblebee Bat. And they are only about an inch long.
I have a question.
Yes.
Why is it called?
What made you think that we were going to get that?
I just like to ask questions. I don't care about the answers.
That's true.
Yeah. The answers are... Where does this live?
That's the method. It doesn't say. I have to look that up. I will find out for you, though. They are 0.02 ounces. They are less than an ounce.
That is crazy.
Yeah. In Australia, there's a venomous mammal. What is it?
Just one?
All of them.
Yeah, exactly. That's good question. Crazy. A mammal that has venom.
A mammal that is venomous. Meaning it can bite you and put the venom in you.
That was for Bryce.
Not poisonous, where it's dangerous to eat. That's the difference.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Because I actually was, I was a little confused.
Yeah, yeah. So this is venomous means that it will bite you for the poison to transfer.
So this thing
can bite you and make you sick.
Not Brandon.
So it's a vampire of some kind.
A vampire? Ooh.
I wouldn't put it past Australia.
Dude, seriously.
Vampires wouldn't be there.
Is it a mongoose?
I like your train of thought though, with the whole like they fight snakes, so maybe they fight fire with fire kind of thing. No.
No.
Not that though.
Then I don't know.
But I like the idea.
Is it a dingo?
No.
A dingo.
Is it a dingo?
It's the duck-billed platypus.
What? What?
Yeah.
Like Perry the platypus?
Yes.
I didn't know they were venomous.
Yeah. They have spurs on their hind legs that can inject venom.
Huh.
Crazy. I was thinking teeth.
Yeah.
Not even.
I was too at first. I was like, wait, they have a bill. So what's going on? Yeah. And it can.
I meant the animal we were going to pick had to have teeth.
So like.
Not the. I knew the platypus. Whatever.
Not the duck face.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah. So. It can kill things like way bigger than it, like dogs and wolves and things.
So
but
can I.
But if you meet a dog bigger than you and you can kill it, that'll be impressive.
Not with my bare hands, but
a dog bigger than
my thumbs.
Wouldn't a hyena be bigger than us?
My opposable thumbs have caused me great gain.
No, hyenas are not.
I don't know how big they are.
I don't think so.
Wolves are. No. Wolves can be
wolves
bigger
are than
definitely
people, bigger than us.
But I don't think hyenas are.
Some wolves.
Gus that wasn't bigger than us.
I mean, haven't you seen Twilight?
Those are.
Sorry.
Oh, my head.
I'm sorry. I'm getting a migraine.
I'm on one tonight. Sorry. You got me on a real bad night.
We're talking
guys.
About historical fiction.
That's Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yes.
Oh, that was a good, was horrible a movie.
That is a movie that my wife actually liked, is how I always describe that movie.
Oh, man.
All right. So
I don't know if she wants that out on the podcast. I'm just
kidding. Nah, she'll be fine.
She's cool.
Yeah.
She rolls.
Yes.
So, in the big cat family, which means cats that aren't kept as pets,
big
what's
cat.
The smallest one?
Are we considering their babies or like as an adult?
Like as a full grown
snow leopard.
No.
It's a big
smaller than a bobcat. I think there's one smaller than a bobcat.
Regular leopard. Wait. Deaf leopard. So it's smaller than a deaf leopard?
Yes.
Death leopard.
I think it's deaf.
Maybe.
It's deaf.
You don't want to
know. I don't know what it
is. So my thought was it'd be like...
It's not one arm.
I was thinking it'd be the lynx, but it's actually smaller than that. It's called the rusty spotted cat, and they are only 3 pounds.
That's
and yet somehow considered part of the big cat family.
Wait.
Andrew.
Wait a minute.
What?
Andrew.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask the question
it's
again.
Just a list. It's just a list of questions,
what
man.
Makes you think we're going to know the answer?
I don't
think
what if we would have got it, though?
It's more fun. Amazing.
I honestly, I could see Jim or Brett getting that.
Yeah.
I take it back. I take it back. I'm so sorry.
Never heard
I
don't of that. Pay or the bat.
I could.
No, you're good. What I could see with Brett is that, like, oh my gosh, Caleb told me this earlier today. For, like, I feel answers. Like that
that's
would
fair.
Happen once in a while.
That would be the only way I'd get it.
All right. You got any good ones?
They've all been good.
We're going to move away from mammals, if that's okay.
Yeah. Oh, I felt constricted by staying with mammals.
Mm. Are you talking about snakes?
I could be.
I think that's what he meant.
Speaking of snakes, my dad was coming up to babysit kids.
Right?
Okay.
I could see the connection.
And Gideon had seen a snake in the yard and took his hand and put it down the hole.
No, he did
pulled
not.
It out. And threw it across the street.
That's crazy.
My oldest son, Jim, would have done that.
Crazy.
Oh, yeah. I watched him, like, a lawnmower go over a snake, and that snake was so mad. It was jumping up in the air. He seen that. Poof. He was gone.
What?
He caught that snake in mid-strike. Boom.
That's crazy.
You know.
That's crazy.
You guys got kids that are built different.
I sent my 13-year-old up a ladder last night.
Yeah, Jim has no fear.
No.
He, you know, what do they call it, noodling?
Oh, for fish,
He figured out how to do that like he was six. All right? You go
for
on
fun?
you go out on the docks, and the catfish will lay inside those tires sometimes on the sides of the dock. He just reaches down there and gets himself a catfish.
That's crazy.
Did he eat it?
And, oh, it's stinging him.
Oh, he doesn't feel pain. I mean, he broke his neck once. And didn't know.
It didn't three days.
Yeah.
Laying around.
Oh, I think I got crazy. A crick in my neck and your daughter made me go to the hospital. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, you gotta
that's
go
crazy.
To surgery.
Immediately
today.
Surgery.
Oh man.
Yeah. Oh man, my neck's a little stiff. Yeah, when he couldn't swallow, it's when he had to go to the hospital. Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's terrifying that like that is possible.
His pain threshold, it's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Wild.
I've heard that story a lot and it still shocks me every time I hear it.
Every time.
It blows my mind.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he's built different. Gideon's built different.
Yeah, he was watching Caleb go up there, and he's just looking. He's like, I could do that.
Probably could.
He'd probably just run up there. Like,
I could tell you who's not going up that ladder. Me.
Me.
I don't like ladders. I don't like
hate ladders.
I
hate ladders.
What were you doing on a ladder? What was he doing on a ladder?
He was changing the cloth on the cross.
Oh no.
For Easter.
No,
yeah.
No.
Yes.
Way up there.
No. That is so high.
It is high.
Why is that cross not built to come down?
Because crosses don't come down.
Well,
Jesus didn't come down until it was done, so now they will have a cross.
Jeez.
I don't have actually real answers for you. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think that's true.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Because eventually they did. Okay, whatever. It's fine.
No. Should we stop?
No, like this has been perfect.
Ask me a good question.
Give me something about non-man. I'm not really good with mammals.
No one told me they got to be good questions.
Fish has the biggest tooth.
What? Tooth?
Yeah.
Is a narwhal a fish? Whale. It's a mammal, right?
It's
Is it a mammal? Yeah. It might be.
It's a whale. I would guess that it's a mammal, so I don't know if it counts as a fish. But that was the answer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because their horn is a tooth.
Yes, it is.
No.
We had the question on the
seal. Wait, that's a big nose.
Mm.
Me too.
Hey, we're not talking about that.
Elephant seals gross me out because sometimes they fight and those noses get like halfway cut off and they don't care. They just live with it, hanging off of them dead. It's gross. Yeah. Hate that.
Yep.
You know what I've learned tonight? No, thank you. I don't really care for animals, apparently, or watch them very often because I don't
like
know.
Like I said at the beginning of this,
apparently penguins are like dogs.
Amazing.
No, like they're really friendly.
Yeah, they're the best animal in the world.
They're polite.
I want a penguin.
Penguins are polite.
My kids want a monkey.
Gosh, you're gross.
Like, if we get a monkey, he's going to be on cigarettes.
Okay? Monkeys eat faces. Monkeys
he's
going to
play cymbals, and he's going to dance.
He's going to make me some money. He's going to drink whiskey.
Sounds like you're going to prison for animal abuse.
But so is the monkey.
Exactly. Equal.
The monkey tortures squirrels.
Oh. How do we transition out of
great
that?
Great question. Oh.
Hey, Brandon.
Next.
What's the slowest land mammal?
There's your transition. Right? I'm trying my best not to laugh because I feel like I'm going to have a fit.
I got a cough drop. You want some?
Oh.
I can't even handle how great those. Those facts were.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That's why I do that to you, Bryce. It's fun, even if you don't know any of them.
It's a sloth.
Sloth.
That's the slowest one. Mm-hmm. Talked about that at the beginning. And now we're ending it that way because we have to transition after that nightmare. But yes, we are on our final section of seven deadly sins, which is sloth. We were going to do it last week, but Andrew didn't want to come.
Yeah. That was so good.
I didn't feel like it.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. That was so good. It's funny because it's true.
Not entirely.
We canceled last week to record this week.
For the giggles.
I mean, he did have prior plans. Yeah, whatever. Okay, I got it.
All right. Sloth. Definition of sloth is laziness or failure to act in the face of responsibility. So part one would be... Or point one, sorry, would be sloth is more than laziness. It's surrender. It's not caring enough to try. It's the slow fade of purpose under the weight of distraction, comfort, and fear. Our culture pushes us towards passivity. And we binge, we scroll, we speculate, and we settle. And sloth doesn't feel like sin. It just feels like being tired or overwhelmed. But it numbs us into spiritual apathy. Proverbs 13:4 says the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. So Richard Baxter says, idleness is the burying of a living man. The slothful are dead while they are alive. Thoughts?
Well, I'd want to lean into being tired or overwhelmed. And I think often when people say that, it's like we have to give them a pass because we would hate for anyone to be overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. But I guess, is there a place for, hey, this overwhelmedness, you've moved from it being a legitimate thing to a crutch.
Yeah.
And again, you can't like.
It's hard to grade.
Well, you can't look at somebody and be like, that's definitely like sinful overwhelmedness. Like you're not, you're putting off your responsibility. So it's hard to identify. But I think if it's something that we could identify in ourselves, or should be looking for in ourselves, mm-hmm. because it's easy to be overwhelmed, but it doesn't.
I feel like this is a hard subject to really nail down because there's so many different factors of why we might need rest. and rest isn't bad, maybe
right.
making an excuse to not doing any to not doing something is probably bad.
We never rest with the intent to put off the things that we already have to do. We can't rest our way through life and not accomplish or do the things set before us.
Mm-hmm.
So one benchmark would be, yeah, we need margin or we need rest or Sabbath or whatever word you want to use. But if your resting and Sabbathing leads you to not go to work on Monday or not pursue or do the things that you're called to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think that then we're getting into something that is deeper than just rest. It's becoming, well, surrender, like you wrote in point one. We're surrendering our work ethic or we're surrendering our call to do something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I was vamping, but no one seems to be leaning into their mics, so I don't think anybody has anything to say.
Well,
why are we so apathetic? Why are we so slothful to tackle this topic?
I think, you know, you have to make that phone call you really don't want to make.
There you go.
You know, mm-hmm. you feel overwhelmed. The reality is you just don't want to make that phone call. You don't want to face the music. And if it has a sense of being overwhelmed and even heavy to the point of maybe feeling tired kind of
yeah.
thing
yeah.
because you need to have a conversation with somebody or, you know, you need to get information, you know, you don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we procrastinate. We put it off. We kick the can down the road, if you will.
Yeah.
That's one thing I don't have an issue with normally. I don't care. Probably a filter that I need to have more of, but yeah, I don't understand the procrastination of making that phone call. I don't like doing projects. I procrastinate the crap out of those. But
yeah.
I think for different people, it's going to be different stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like for some people, a phone call isn't work, but for some people it is.
Yeah. No, I
just,
know.
Yeah, just like, especially anxious people, I think that don't. Some kind of
I'm anxious. Incredibly anxious. What are you talking
about? Not about like interpersonal stuff though. You can talk to anyone.
Yeah, no, that doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
I think that it manifests different for everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Does procrastination fall under sloth? Like if you were to say procrastination is a symptom of the sin of sloth.
I mean, if it feels like it is.
It could be maybe a product of it.
That's a good point. I mean, kind of the same way we were talking last time with wrath and anger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, procrastination is the symptom of sloth.
You're trying to get out of something.
I think it's probably
yeah.
a symptom of more than one.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that sloth is probably its biggest contributor. But I mean also gluttony. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you procrastinate by just intaking more media or mm-hmm. doing something when you should be working.
Yeah.
That's procrastination, even though you're not maybe actively thinking of avoiding work. You're just not getting to it because you're hitting next episode or yeah. you're, you know, swipe into the next video on your phone or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It does seem like a sloth is like there's some numbing thing about it that we're trying to numb something that we either don't want to do or we're trying to push down to not deal with.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, we're just at the end of the day, we're just trying not to deal with something that has to be done. And if it doesn't get done, it's just going to clutter you internally or it'll clutter you like externally too. Like if you don't fix the leaking pipe, you're going to have more issues down the road. Or if you don't fix the issue you have with your friend, you're going to have more. There could be like a root of bitterness that builds up
yep.
because you're pushing it off because you don't want to deal with it. Because it's easier to not deal with it. It's easier to ignore it. Put it behind us. But you know what? I talked to someone a week or so ago. And I'm like, if you put it behind you, hypothetically 16 years later, it's just going to come back up in a different form. And then that all that's just going to have to get dealt with. So if we're not willing to deal with the issue now, then
yeah,
just wait. It'll come back around.
There's something to say, though, about grace and forgiveness and letting it go. I mean, there's times where I mean, maybe this is probably just my own pride getting in the way, but I've had issues with people and not had a conversation with them. And,
yeah.
and it, whatever, it doesn't bother me
yeah.
anymore. I don't think it's ever come up again in life. I'm not friends with some of them anymore, but that's a totally different story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think sloth and putting something off and or versus overlooking an offense or giving it to the Lord are the same thing. I think that's one way to deal with it is to give it to the Lord and to just say, I'm going to forgive and forget and let it go.
Yeah.
That is doing something. I think procrastination or sloth would be, I'm still mad about it, but I don't want to restore. I don't want any mm-hmm. restoration. I'm still mad about it. I'm not going to forgive them. I'm just going to remember. I'm going to hold it over their head.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of stuff that I think falls under sloth. It's like when you say, have you ever like, oh, I'll do that tomorrow. And like the feeling you get where it's like, oh, good. I'll just do it tomorrow. And then knowing full well, you're not going to do it tomorrow either. Mm-hmm. And that's that feeling of procrastination and sloth. It's just a,
yeah.
It's just saying, I don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm. The proverb you gave us, right?
Mm-hmm.
The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, right? Kind of, you know, we tend to drop off with the gets nothing, but there's this concept of craves. In other words, there's no drive. I don't have a drive. There's nothing for me to work towards. So therefore, I just don't work, right? I don't have a goal. I have nothing, you know, to do a task. Is it necessarily a goal? It's nice to get the task done. But I think on here, when you look at the end of that, where it says the diligent is richly supplied, that means they're putting their hands to something. They have a purpose. My dad, one thing he would used to say would be do something, even if it's wrong.
Yeah.
The idea that we need to have something in front of us.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you're, you know, start your day off by making your bed. Kind of mm-hmm. thing. You've gotten one thing done already before you leave your bedroom.
Yeah, there's a bunch of science behind. Mm-hmm. You make your bed, you're more motivated to do other things throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. Do a thing.
I wake up before everyone else, so hard for me to do.
Make your bed with your wife.
Sorry, honey.
What's going on?
Hold still.
I need to make this. Yeah, I think it's probably procrastination might be a kind of a, almost a shallow way to look at it, you know, as we talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
No,
it's just a part.
I think. How easy is it to, instead of doing something like, I know I need to read my Bible, but I'm going to do this instead. And so we start to replace that which is really important with things that really aren't important. Or
yeah.
I'm just going to play this one more game, one more time. I'm just going to scroll just a few minutes longer, mm-hmm. and kind of goes along with that proverb where, kind of like a door swings on a hinge. And you just roll over.
Yeah. So just, I think from the beginning, it's just numbness. You're numb. There's nothing driving you to move forward. Or, yeah. Which I think we see an epidemic of that since the 2020s.
Since 2020. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
COVID.
There's just been a sense of, I give up. I'm not going to try.
Yep.
There's no point in trying when everything's falling apart.
COVID ruined a lot of people.
A lot of young people.
Well, and they just bought the lie. The lie, the sin that says that it's better to not do the hard thing than to do mm-hmm. the hard thing. That's the sinful part of all this is
mm-hmm.
When I'm looking at the situation, if I don't do it, that would be better for me than if I do it. But the reality is it's always better to do the harder thing or the right thing,
yeah.
whatever that is. Again, to the point of making, I mean, as a guy that's been in sales for almost 20 years, like, the call you don't want to make is the one you want to make, because then the rest of your day is better. I've always found do the hardest thing first, and then everything else is, you know, better. And that's, and it kind of sounds kind of pop psychology-ish, but in a real way, like, we have to do hard things and mm-hmm. just get it over with.
No, it's the same concept of, like, carry the heavy couch first, mm-hmm. and then whatever small box you have to carry after that, it's not as hard. Mm-hmm. Get the big thing out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of it's not as hard.
Yeah.
You know, I think this might sound odd, but I think sometimes one of the biggest things or most difficult and lots of times for me is just getting out of bed in the morning, and everything else seems to go pretty good if I can just manage that piece. So the alarm goes off, hit the snooze, alarm goes mm-hmm. off, hit the snooze.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many times I hit the snooze button at this point. It's pretty bad.
That's really interesting. I like that. Well, point number two, sloth isn't about doing nothing. It's avoiding the right things. We've been kind of talking about that. So John Calvin said the slothfulness of men is such that they neglect to care, the care of their souls. We talked about that a bit. When we just put off getting in the word or prayer or even participating at church in our groups, it can kind of become, we're just cruising through our spiritual life. And that's not where we want to be at.
John Wesley said, never be unemployed a moment. Never be triflingly employed. Never while away time.
And then Romans 13:11 says, for salvation is nearer to us now than we were first believed. I think I need to get more context on that.
Can we go back to what is never while away time? What does that mean?
So to while away is to just allow it to pass without accomplishing.
Okay. Yeah. Scroll a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Kind of things we've been hitting on already.
Got it.
But this is an interesting quote. I really like it. Never be unemployed a moment. I don't think he's talking about a job.
No, I don't think either.
No. I think he's talking about don't ever go a moment without having something to do.
Right.
And don't let it be something that's trivial. Mm. So be doing something always and make sure it's important.
Because employed doesn't necessarily mean hired by a company or person to be doing a work hourly. Employed is, if you're breaking the word down, like deployed means for something to have been fired off and it's done. Employed means to be actively engaged. And that can mean a volunteer work in ministry. It could mean something that you're not getting paid for. It doesn't mean be hired and getting money to do something. It just means be contributing, be making progress.
Washing the dishes.
Yeah. You are currently employed in this task if you're washing the dishes or if you're making your bed or if you're vacuuming or something like that.
So I think for me, this one, I think the reason why I had a hard time starting this one tonight was because I didn't really know how it, like what texts would really help us get a handle on what is sloth. This one was the hardest for me. But then what we've been talking about, I think of Ephesians 5, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish but understand what the will of the Lord is. So I think wasting time would be one area, not making the best use of our time. I think that's a real good biblical command that I think helps me better understand sloth and like what we're dealing with here. And then it gets me thinking, so is it a sin to misuse our time? Mm. Is that what that means? Is it a sin to misuse our time?
I think like any other resource, if we're not being a good steward of it, I mean, so that usually when we think of stewardship, we think of money first.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, you'd have to say, like, if you're not tithing, that's a sin. Because we're commanded to tithe. So I would say that in the same way, we're commanded to be good stewards of our time. So to not do so, I mean, that's disobedience. So it's a sin.
But I would also say that we can do all things that we do to the glory of God.
Mm.
And so it doesn't mean that we have to, like, if we're not spending 23 hours a day reading our Bible, we're in sin.
Right.
I think we can, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, do it to the glory of God. So we can redeem almost anything. So it's really more of, I think, a matter of, is our life more in a Godward orientation in what we do versus are we hiding from God and hiding from our responsibilities and shirking what we should be doing and doing whatever we want and taking no thought for what God would want for us to do or how he would want us to do it. And I think, so that's not to say, okay, we can't ever relax, we can't ever have fun, we can't ever...
Because we're told to do that too.
Right, because it's like, you know, you can't have fun, you can't do video games, you can't watch TV. I mean, no one's saying that, but we're saying, like, I think there's got to be some level of, you know, we've got... I mean, I think... So then the question would be, is it too reductionist to say, I'm going to watch this TV show to the glory of God? Is that weird? Is that weird to say?
No. I don't think so.
I mean, maybe certain TV shows.
Well, then that's a different conversation.
That is a different conversation.
I don't think you can watch Game of Thrones to the glory of God.
No.
That's a hot take, but I'm here for it, and I'm with you on it.
But I think it's more complicated for us today, and I could be wrong with that, but you know, when this... Like things like this were written, they didn't have a TV to turn on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how do you kill your time when you have no electronics at all?
Mm.
Period. And you're hanging out with people. But I think I think at the same time, if we evaluate our how we use our time, we would discover we waste a lot of time with zero benefit for me or anybody around me.
think about all the machines that we have that nobody had. I mean, doing dishes, doing laundry, making food. I mean, we have created an entire lifestyle where we can have our whole lives are built. Technology is built so we can have as much time as we could possibly have.
And we feel like we have no time.
Yeah. And we're busier than we've ever been. Yep. We don't read our Bibles like we should. We're not devoted to the Lord like they were 100 years ago. And that's not fair. That's a subjective take. But what I'm saying is you would think with all the technological advances and all of the menial work we don't have to do anymore, but we're finding that we just kill more time. I don't want to be a Luddite. I like technology, but I think that's all part of this.
I just think it makes it more difficult.
It does.
Because, I mean, you know, technically there's what, if we sleep for 8 hours and we work for 8 hours, then, you know, we can have a couple hours for eating and showering. We start to have 5, 6, 7 hours a day that we have to figure out how to kill. And on the weekend, we got even more. Mm-hmm. We actually have a lot of time. We're probably not as busy as we think we are.
Oh, yeah.
I like to convince myself I'm busier than I am. I think that's what it boils down to is, oh, I'm so busy. I can't do this or that. I need to relax. I need to unwind. I need to
decompress.
Decompress. Thank you. I couldn't think of the word. I need to decompress at the end of my day because it's been such a long day at work. My job is not hard. If I'm being 100% honest.
Well, those aren't bad things.
Yeah.
To want to.
But.
Only you can decide if you're.
I'm going to tell you
right
now.
That's the point I'm making.
I hit a certain point. It's just lazy. It's just sloth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something I definitely am working on. I'm fully aware of it. So it's not like I'm blind to it by any means, but it's something I have to work on every day.
I think it's true for all of us. If we're just honest with ourselves, we have a lot of time and to figure out how to fill that time to be productive. I find if I can get connected with some way that I'm held accountable, it may not even be somebody's holding me accountable. Going to a Bible study, though, I feel like if I'm not there, then everybody's going to know I'm not there. So I kind of have this natural accountability to that. Okay. So if I volunteer, I'm going to volunteer. I'm not going to just pretend to volunteer. I'm going to actually volunteer. If I don't show up, then I feel guilty because for me, that's one way that I can get past that in small areas of my life.
That's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good advice. That's something that, as we all know, I'm a contrarian at heart. So when I'm pushed to do something, I want to do the opposite of it.
No.
And so I wonder if that plays a part in my slothfulness. It's like, oh, you're telling me I need to do these things. So I'm just not going to do it at all. And
that's pride too.
It's, you know,
that's a huge pride thing.
It's all about pride.
Yeah.
But Romans 13:13. So we were talking about filling our time with good things. So let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness or sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. And so it's doing that that compare and contrast, like a lot of bad things happen in the night. That's trying to give you that visual image. And so usually if we're bored, it opens, or we're just leaving our time open and not filling it with either good things, keeping ourselves occupied. Usually sin creeps in. And then that's when you see a lot of young men and women now, like sneaking into lust or drunkenness or partying. I'm like, well, I'm bored and all my friends are drinking and they're sleeping around with each other, so I'll feel connected there. I'll be active, right? But I'll not be active in the right way. I'll be filling myself with sin at that point. And I think we have to guard ourselves with slothfulness, that we're not filling our time with sinful things that are contrary to what God asks us to do and asks us to be. But
When you read that, so which one of those things in 13:13 and 14 couldn't also be placated by social media?
No, it's all social media. It's all on social media.
Not in orgies or drunkenness, so the drunken stupor of doom scrolling.
Mm-hmm.
Not in sexual immorality or sensuality or quarreling. So there's Twitter or jealousy. There's Instagram. And again, like that's totally like anachronistic where you're like, I'm imputing social media on a text that you shouldn't. But I think the roots of those sins, I think one of the things with technology, we're talking about how why it's harder for us is we have sin at our fingertips. Mm-hmm. We have access to knowledge and wisdom and growth and power or sin or drunkenness. Just let me just turn it off and scroll. Let me watch more shows. I mean, like to me, the idea of drunkenness is the idea of being in an altered state because of something being impressed on me. So whether that's alcohol or it's a TV show or it's something else, like we have a real epidemic in our culture of it's socially acceptable to check out and check into something that is not reality and we're not, and it's making us lazy. So, and again, I hesitate to say it like that because it's like you can't read Instagram into Romans 13, but I'm just saying these concepts are potentially there if we're not careful.
Unlock big savings while adding style and security to your home with Schlage door locks from Menards. High-quality Schlage Wi-Fi compatible entry locks allow you to lock and unlock your home from anywhere with your phone. Get peace of mind and save big money on all door locks at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. I think you're absolutely right. It just, I think because of this time that we live in, some of the things are going to look different, right? But Solomon wrote about this in Ecclesiastes 1. He first paints a word picture of the repetitiveness of life, and then he goes on to call it a tragic existence, that we've been given a tragic existence. Then he goes on to say the ear cannot get enough, the eye cannot get enough, and then he starts to walk down some paths. One path he walked down was foolishness, the partying lifestyle, obviously in his life, the women, and he goes down these paths. And he comes back up the path and he says, hey, I went down there. There's nothing down there, right? And that's really with slothfulness, right? Like nothing begets nothing. So if I'm venturing down a useless path, when I get down there, what do I have? Nothing.
Nothing.
Exactly what we went to look for.
Right? I hit my target.
Yep.
Yep.
And that's good.
I love the end of 13 of Romans 13, make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Like, again, that's another thing that we can make provision for our flesh very easily in this life. Like, we have a lot at our fingertips. Like, we have a lot of danger around us. Okay. I'm sure there are always dangers. Most of them back then were physical, right? Like, robbery, mugging, but you've got cultural stuff too. I mean, all cultures have this, but.
I mean, there's distraction even in Jesus's day.
For sure.
Even sexual distraction. Mm-hmm. It was all over. It was just out in the front, just like it is now.
That's a Solomon thing, too. Nothing, there's nothing new under the sun, right? Nothing. These things were there. It's just we have to be aware of what are the things that we're going to be up against in our life, just like they had to be aware. And they're, what are the things you've got to worry about if you're a first century Roman versus 21st century American?
Yeah, just thinking through Ecclesiastes just dawns on me in chapter 3 because he goes on, right? He says there's a time for everything. Yeah, there is a time to relax. Mm-hmm. There's a time to collect rocks and there's a time to scatter rocks. Mm-hmm. So there is a time for all this stuff, just knowing when that time is.
Yeah.
I think we if we try to compare past to future, we feel more virtuous now because most of our stuff is hidden and not seen. But I think that veil is being torn. And so a lot of people are seeing the nastiness of what the world is actually has been. Mm-hmm. It hasn't changed. Which should humble us in a way and be like, okay, God, keep you in front of me. Instead of letting these things come in, like guard me from all of the wickedness that comes in and help me not be passive to wickedness around me. Yeah, that's like sloth was. It's not something I just don't think much of, but because I just I think of laziness, but I don't like the things that we've been talking about. I haven't really put to mind much. Like, oh, I'm numbing myself, which can be slothfulness. I'm replacing this with that, which could be slothfulness. Like, it's,
yeah,
it's challenging, I think, for me, because it's like, oh, I have a deep problem with this. Like, I have an issue with this one.
It's also a lot of Western culture, even though you're one probably more than most that fight Western culture.
I'm it's, all about Southern.
It's
not that's not true. I mean. I'm from Missouri, but
it's like, hey, your culture looks pretty strong. Let me fight it.
So even with that, still, I mean, things still. Oh, I mean, you still grew up here. Oh, you still have that kind of thing built into you. And as much as we want to say, hey, I'm not a sloth. It's the more we talk about it, the more I'm like, oh gosh,
creeps in.
Oh yeah.
For me, it hides behind patience.
That's sneaky. Interesting. Yeah.
That's very true.
People will describe me as patient pretty frequently, but
yeah,
it's one side of a coin, and the other side is passiveness. And I think every topic we've every one of the seven deadly sins probably has that virtuous side to it. You know, for wrath, it'd be, you know, courage and standing up for what's right. You know, you flip that to the sinful side, and it's rage and taking things out on people. For sloth, it's being a patient person. If it's from the Lord and it's through the Holy Spirit, it's good. If it's from you, it's probably laziness and passiveness and just not acting, sometimes out of fear or sometimes out of just not caring. But
that's interesting, because it's almost like the answer can't be, well, the answer can't be then strive like in your own strength to just make something happen, or strive in your own ability, because we can't do that either. That's some other sin of trying to work for whatever,
probably pride.
We can't strive, or we can't say, okay, well, I guess the answer is just I need to work harder and feel bad about myself because I'm so lazy. The answer has to be something more spiritual than that. It has to be grace empowered realization that we wait on the Lord. When we wait on the Lord, we act in the things that we know we're supposed to act in. Like, there's never, we don't need to wait for a warm and fuzzy to read our Bibles, pray, seek the Lord, go to work, raise a family. Like, these things, God's already revealed that. He's already told us that. So we don't need to wait. Is this the day that I start my Bible reading plan? No, that yesterday was the day I started your Bible reading plan, right? Like, God has revealed things. God reveals things to us. And I think maybe a safer thing to say would be, don't be slothful on the things that have been revealed. There are things about your life that are not revealed. What should I do for my next job? How should I do this? When should I do that? Those are things we might have to wait on the Lord for. We don't know. But the things we do know, we can't shirk those responsibilities. Get up tomorrow, read your Bible, pray to the Lord, raise your family. Like, I think the things that we know and don't do are the things that condemn us, not the things that we don't know and we're waiting on. We can wait on the Lord. That's fine. There's 1,001 reasons why we would wait on the Lord for anything, but there are 1,000 things in the scriptures that it's like, do it.
Yeah. I can hide behind that too.
Sure.
Right? I'm waiting for the Lord to give me a job. Mm. Well, go make application or put out applications. Well, God said he was going to give me a job, so I'm going to sit here and wait for it. You know, and so we can hide behind waiting on the Lord as well. Yeah. But you're right, and we need to lean into, and I totally agree, what we do know.
Yeah.
Right? Just make application. I like it's coming up, I guess.
Oh.
Just show up.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, just show up. I think we make it too hard. I think one of the things that set me free on, like, reading the Bible regularly is really my rule of thumb is I just have to read one verse every day. That's it. It's just hard for me to read just one verse, right? And then it grew from there. Mm-hmm. I think we need to give ourselves permission to take the baby step.
That's another slothful thing, isn't it? If I can't do it right, I don't want to do it at all. And that's not good.
We gotta give ourselves grace to do something wrong, and that doesn't mean you quit and start over. It means you can keep going.
Can't steer a parked car.
There was a point in time in my life where I felt shame that I wasn't reading through the Bible in a year. And then I had heard something in a sermon of, like, chewing the word and just settling in a spot and just really like getting it inside of you. And so I was like, oh, I'm like, that's what I want. I don't want to just check it off my list. I don't think it's bad to do the Bible in a year. So I don't get that impression. But if you're just doing it and you're not getting anything from it, you're just saying, oh, I did it. I did it every year. I did it. And then like, what'd you learn? Well, I don't know. Like,
I learned how long it takes for me to read the Bible.
Yeah.
One year.
Slow down.
Weird.
Slow down a bit and just let it settle into you. I think there was a point in time where I was in the Sermon on the Mount for a year and just digesting it and like trying to understand it more, go deeper with it. I mean, yes, we have a short amount of time, but
I think it has a lot to do with who we are.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, striving to do it in a year has been really helpful because many times going through it, one thing builds on top of another. Mm-hmm. Brett here, very studious, and I really admire that and I really appreciate that, and hearing the things that he brings to the table. Mm-hmm. And then for those others that you know, like you're talking about, to just need to just soak in what they're reading, you know, I just think know yourself is part of it too. Yeah. But whatever you do, show up.
Yeah.
Take the step, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. That was the point four that Jim was getting at, was the antidote to sloth is holy perseverance. Keep going. Persevere. Don't slow down. So you don't need to do something heroic. Just show up. So pray even when you don't feel like it. Keep creating, if that's what you do. Forgiving, that's active. Obeying and pressing forward. So Romans 12:11, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, and serve the Lord. Do something good. Serving the Lord is good. It is not bad. It's not burdensome. It's a good thing to do.
I heard a guy say one time, if you're inconsistent, just be inconsistent, and then be inconsistent again, and then be inconsistent, and then be inconsistent. And then all of a sudden, your inconsistency
is consistency.
It's consistency. Yeah. You're just be
consistently
consistent. Just do it.
Just find your rhythm.
That's it. The irony is like there's no such thing as like no perseverance if you keep doing it. That is the definition.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, that feels about me.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that story is about me.
Not on purpose.
I know. No, I'm not saying that.
You're not going to hit the ball every time you swing the bat.
100%.
And so don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. Just get up to the plate. Do it again.
Yeah, Wayne Gretzky didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. Gosh.
I was going to say you could fail 7 out of 10 times and be in the Hall of Fame in baseball.
Yep.
Yeah. Batting 300 is a big deal. Yep. So it's not failure.
Yeah. Just.
And if you're not failing, shame on you.
Yeah.
Right.
Try more.
You're not doing anything.
There's that proverb where there are no oxen, the stable is clean. You might have a very clean stable, but no work gets done in a clean stable. Mm-hmm. I would never start something that I won't finish. Yeah, well, then that just tells me you're not a starter.
Yeah.
Right? That tells me you're not a worker. It tells me you're going to sit in the back and throw rocks. Look, guys on the bench don't get to talk to starters, okay? They just don't.
I saw a quote about people that fail to start.
Hmm.
And it's like that hesitancy. Like, I don't know if I'll do it. I don't know if I'll be able to make it. Like, who's going to listen to me? Who's going to read what I have to write, or who's going to listen to my music, like anything like that. But then you talk to the people that have somehow busted out and made it. They're like, I tried like 15 other things before it got to this point. And I had to, like, even with starting the podcast or my Substack or music, I've always been hesitant because I'm like, I don't think I'll ever be where like these other people are. And so for me, it was like, do I even bother to do this? Like, but then I forget because I'm like, well, we're not always like, no one's ever instant. It's very, very small percentage that people are just instant fame or instant success. There's a lot of work that goes into making these things possible.
Yeah. The people that get big, it seems like they got big overnight, but they've been grinding for years.
And it's just
like, or they've sold their soul.
That's a thing.
That's a thing.
That's 100%
gonna go full Milton.
That is a thing.
I think we missed the point of application. I mean, again, going back to Ecclesiastes, he said, I looked at all the work that I've accomplished and it was meaningless. But what he did say is that we need to appreciate our job because that was given to us by God.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not about how far down the road we get or how much we accomplish. Mm-hmm. It's really in the doing.
Mm-hmm.
There's just trying to make this really quick, but God tells this guy to move a stone. So the guy's out there trying to move the stone, but it won't move because it's too big. You know, after time, Satan comes up and says, hey, why are you pushing that stone? I'm trying to move it. Well, come on, dude, you're never going to move it. So he sits down. God comes back. Why are you sitting there? Why aren't you pushing on the stone? It's too big. It's not going to go anywhere. God told him to push the stone, not move the stone, right? He's like, I never asked you to move it. I just want you to push it. Look at you, how much stronger you are, right? It's about us and God and getting to where he wants us, not so much that we achieve and accomplish and build.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I would say faithfulness. Yeah. God calls us to be faithful. He doesn't say you need to produce. We might not. We might never be successful. We might never be the best in anything we do. But if we're faithful, that's what he calls us to be. The results are God's ultimately. Like we don't get to decide if we make it big or whatever. I read in a commentary one time. I remember who it was. And I'm sure he's either dead or would never listen, so I could probably have gotten away with telling it like it was mine. But the idea was, in God's economy, faithfulness is not equated to fruitfulness. And so when we get to heaven and we see all of the fruit from all of our labors, what if Billy Graham takes a backseat to a woman with a 40-year prayer ministry?
Mm-hmm.
Right, what if, because it's about faithfulness, it's not about fruitfulness. So yeah, Billy Graham preached to millions. Billy Graham saw millions of people come forward and profess faith in Christ. But that doesn't necessarily mean to God that Billy Graham was any more faithful than somebody else. Like, it's about faithfulness. It's not about fruitfulness. And so I think sloth tells us, if I can't be fruitful, there's no reason to be faithful.
Mm.
If I can't produce, there's no reason to start. Or I don't want to keep going because I'm not seeing anything from it. And I don't think those are the types of decisions we should be making as people that consider our work vocation. If it's a calling, that means God called you to do it. And if he's called you to do it, then you need to see it through. Regardless of if it's like, well, this, I'm never going to be famous. I'm never going to get promoted. I'm never going to move up. Well, maybe. But like, that was never the question. The question was, are you going to be faithful? Not, are you going to be fruitful? Mm-hmm. Because we don't get to decide that.
Yeah.
Yep.
There was a missionary to China. Maybe you guys know his name. I can't think of it.
Taylor?
Never had one convert.
Something like that. Or 20 years in. Yeah, long time.
Not one convert.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But he built a platform for those who came behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It just revolutionized, really, China and the underground church and everything that went on there. But he himself... loser.
Jim meant that sarcastically for those who
no, no.
those who are listening, that was sarcasm.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of follows suit with Moses never seeing the promised land. Like,
right?
It's that same, he was obedient and he pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. And I mean, by all accounts, he accomplished a lot, but he also like didn't get there.
Mm-hmm. I really only that, got yeah. only got two of the original there.
Yeah, but
right
out of a million or 2 million or some crazy.
Does that
number.
Mean he shouldn't have done what God told him to do? Like,
no,
definitely not.
That's good.
That's good.
I like that.
Yeah,
I want to go anywhere. No.
Other thing I would say again, the pastor's heart of me is like also say that doesn't mean that it's not hard.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean like it, like, oh, just take your medicine. It's okay to sit in toil and obscurity. It's still hard. Like, it's not fun always to feel like, oh man, like what I'm doing is worthless. And sometimes you might feel that way. And so if you feel that way, that's going to be probably, we're not saying, this is not like a silver bullet, but well, now that you know that it's you know, it's so, you just be faithful. Like, it doesn't make it easier.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, great.
No.
Have feelings.
Yeah. Or just, we know. Yeah. I mean, everybody knows that. So.
Sin or righteousness comes by how you react to feelings, not by having the feelings. So
that's right. Yeah, there you go. That's true.
That's good. Oh, was it Galatians 6:9 says, and let's not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And so sloth thrives than when we stop caring, stop hoping, stop creating. But the gospel calls us to abide and to serve and to burn bright. And so you were not made to fade into the background. You were made to bear fruit. That fruit will set people free. Because the next subject we're going to talk about is awesome, but which I'm really excited for. But
yeah,
yeah, like our perseverance can rub off on somebody else, and we don't think about that in the moment. When we're grinding, when we're doing something we don't necessarily want to be doing, but we're, like you said, faithful to show up and just to do it and to do it unto the Lord, that's influential for people.
I mean, how
people need to see.
How much better is a crappy job if you have friends there, you know? Like think back to your high school jobs. Like I remember working at Dairy Queen sucked, but I worked with some really cool people and I was excited to go every day.
Yeah.
And I came home smelling like rotten dairy product, and
he was stinky
and sore and gross and tired, but I had friends that were in there with me and made it easy to go every day.
Yeah.
It's probably why I didn't last at most of my high school jobs. Everyone I worked with.
Because you are not friendly.
Oh, it was probably me. It was definitely me.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Keep fighting the faith. Or fighting in the faith.
Oh, hold on.
Sorry.
Oh, hold on.
Fighting for the faith.
There you go.
It's better.
I lost it. But yeah, keep fighting for the faith. Don't give up. Keep going. Don't just settle. You don't need to settle. Just keep going. God's called each and every one of you that's listening and each and every one of us here to something, to serve in some way, to make him known. I think everybody is called to make disciples in every space that we can. So we got to do it. And that's urgent. It's an urgent thing. We can't wait for someone to come to us. We have to go. We have to bear that fruit. People have to see it and ask us those questions. And so then we have an answer. And we do have an answer.
Yep. We're called to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, we think of missionaries as being other people, right, that go to faraway places. But for most of us, every time we go to work in the morning, we're stepping into our mission field.
Mm-hmm. Every time. It's
every day.
It's interesting that we belittle that normal thing that we all do. We all work in some way, but we're like, oh, but those missionaries are doing it. Like they're doing the glorious thing. They're getting they're seen. But it's not about being seen. It's just about doing. It's about loving God and loving your neighbor. I mean, Jesus, that's revolutionary right there. Dying to yourself and loving someone else instead. Because you've been given the key. You've been given a seat at the table already. Bring all the people that you can along with you. Don't give up on that. That's a big deal. And yes, you might have to work a job you might not enjoy or maybe you won't see the fruits of your labor now. But when we're all together again and you see all those, the people that you might have been an influence in, that's a great reward. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful story. I think for a long time when we were really focused on numbers, right? Getting people in our seats and growing our churches. And there was one point in time I remember distinctly driving up West 4th with Bethany. I'm like, I am so sick of worrying about how many people are here when I can't even influence my neighbors. I can't be an influence. And they don't even know that I'm a Christian. My kids need to be, I need to be training my kids up so that they'll come to know Jesus, and then their kids can come to know Jesus, and then their kids can come to know Jesus. That's generational. That spreads. And you just forget about those things when we have such tunnel vision on the instant gratification of seeing something happen. And like a lot of the apostles tell us, they saw a glimpse of something happening, but they didn't see what was to come. And we have to keep that mindset too. We're not any more special than they are, or they were. And yeah, just keep going. Don't give up on doing the normal things for the glory of God.
And we have it easier than missionaries.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to learn another culture. Just walk out the door. You already speak the language. You already know the people. You already know the property taxes for your neighbor. You mean there are a thousand things you know about your neighbor already.
Yeah.
That you don't have to learn because you're swimming in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it might be quote unquote glamorous to be a missionary, but it's easier.
We also meet people
in your own context.
We also don't have the fear of getting our heads cut off.
Mm. Not yet.
Not yet.
No, not today.
It could come. Maybe we'll get canceled on social media.
Oh, no.
There's the Q-thin.
Yeah. Our biggest fear now is getting rejected.
Yeah. Or mocked.
Yeah.
Make fun of me.
It's easier to stand up once than it is to take it for years. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it.
We all think we could take a public execution, but not being liked by somebody can feel way worse because that's a longer time.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
I don't like not being liked.
All right.
Oh, I love it.
I love it.
Picture someone like on the headsman's block looking up, are you mad at me? We're good, right?
We're good. All right. Yeah. I think we're in it.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, I had a question for you guys before we end it.
This always scares me.
This isn't in the notes.
Nothing bad. So we've gone through all seven of these sins. Since going through it, I know I've been pretty introspective of myself. I'm curious if you guys have felt the same in some ways.
Definitely. Not in some ways, in lots of ways. Brain.
Yeah.
Sorry, ADHD brain. Not allowed to say ADD anymore.
Thank you. Yeah, that's the first time he's admitted he was wrong on that.
I'm not admitting I'm wrong. I'm just conforming.
Thank you.
And failing.
I mean, the doctor's the ones telling you you're wrong.
I know. But, yeah, I mean, having a list to, like, give context to identifying things, it helps me say, oh, yeah, no, I was much worse about that than I thought it was. Like,
it's good
for the introspection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had a lot of thoughts on how envious I am of others, how greedy I am. God's humbled me pretty hard on my greed, so... I'm like, oh, all these things are happening, and I have to just dump money. Well, I guess I shouldn't be attached to it. So that money doesn't bring my happiness.
No, it's also just money. You can't take it with you.
Yeah, it's all going to burn anyways. But, I've been really introspective of this. I'm really excited for the fruits of the Spirit. Mm.
This has all got me really excited for talking about the fruits of the Spirit, because the way to combat all of this is with the fruits of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's pretty it's pretty cool.
You got something?
Yeah, he does.
I was just going to say, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I think... one of the gifts of being a believer, and I think what John is saying in 1 John, is one of the marks of being a believer is realizing and seeing more and more of your sin as you get older. I don't think we become greater sinners as we grow in our faith. I think actually we sin less, but we're more aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
The more we walk with the Lord, the more we know his scriptures, the more we see more, we're less ignorant to our sin. And I think spending seven episodes talking about seven specific sins and trying to work them out, I think helps us be less ignorant of our sin and helps us to realize, okay, I need more help. But the good news is the grace is still there. The forgiveness for the sins are there. And so I think it's always helpful to slow down and think about sin in the way to point us to Christ and confessing sin.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's easy to gloss over sin and say, let's not, everybody's got it, but let's not talk about it. But I think spending this much time just looking at sin and categories of sin is helpful. So to then it makes going on to the fruit of the Spirit that much more impactful, because it's like, oh, we know what we need, but now what do we got?
Mm-hmm.
And what we've got is we've got all we need.
Oh, yeah.
In Christ.
That was good.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Do you have any more, Jim?
I just think the awareness of it, you know, I think we need, Brett said, we need to be mindful of it. Definitely hope I'm sinning less.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's built a resolve. I'm going to say it that way. My resolve is growing mm-hmm. in things of what I need to do, what I shouldn't be doing.
Yeah. I felt that too. That drive to be like, okay, I don't need to do this anymore. This is old.
Like, looking for something productive to fill my time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Even if it's a small project, maybe even, you know, but it's productive.
Yeah.
Was it Spurgeon that said the idle hands are the workshop of the are the tools of the devil?
Mm-hmm.
It's good to be busy.
Yeah, I think we all have busyness. We have kids to try to raise up in the faith too. That's urgent. I think I've seen the web of what of forms that sin takes in my life, because it's not as black and white. Like, there's a lot of dark hidden things. I'm like, oh, that's a part of this. Like, it's like the category thing. It's helped me categorize, like, I think this might be a deeper root of this or this. And so that's helped kind of combat sin for me. Like, I'm like, oh, I know where this leads to now. Like,
it's like, if you're, you know, soldiers need to know what the enemy uniform looks like. And I think this helps
mm-hmm.
identify more things than we knew before.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
We are more profoundly sinners than we've ever thought possible. But the next series is the grace that we receive
mm-hmm.
is more profound than we can even imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I know what I'm supposed to do and I don't do it. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm not supposed to do, and that's the very thing I do. There's this battle that goes on inside me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But for the grace of God.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
We finished it.
We did it.
We did it. We've solved all the problems.
We can put it to bed.
We established all of the problems.
We established right. Everything.
We pointed out all our issues.
Oh, yeah. I think we can put it to rest for a little bit. It'll come back up. No worries. But
In a week.
Or tomorrow.
Yeah.
You have tags for us?
Yep. I said I was going to script it, and then I didn't. Brett and Michael Cam.
Oh, yeah.
Elect Exiles. Wonderful to listen to. Wonderful.
Still on sabbatical
for a short amount of time, but don't worry. They got.
Or if they'll email you here ideas for content, I'll take them. So email outsiders.
Wait, what?
The whole reason why I don't do anything is because I don't really have anything to talk about. I haven't really narrowed down like stuff that I really think would be interesting for people to listen to.
Oh, I got you. I understand. So, either way,
people
still great. There's a big old log of stuff you can go listen to. Brandon's got a Substack. He's posting, I don't even know, often.
Twice a week.
I don't know what day. It's always a surprise.
Mondays and Fridays.
He says that. It's always a surprise.
I am giving a treat. I'm going through.
Is it chocolate?
I'm going through the fruits of the Spirit already.
Oh, I thought you said tree, not treat.
I've got a title. Oh.
Earth Day is this.
I have a title for it, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, you go ahead. I'll do
it. Okay. Anyway, his Substack's there. We are on Instagram and Facebook. X, we're still banned from.
Yes.
It feels right.
We are a robot.
We are a bot.
I love it.
I prefer just to say banned.
Yeah, we're banned.
Yeah.
For now.
We're not real.
And then
get it together, Elon.
Can they still buy us a cup of coffee, Bryce?
Oh my gosh. I clearly am a mistake.
I just thought of that because I looked at my coffee cup.
We
would love
coffee.
We've got
coffee. Our Patreon. We've got our Buy Me a Coffee. You can absolutely do either one of those if you feel led to donate. We've got things we need to purchase. So to make this easier, there's some.
We're moving to a new room.
Yeah, we need.
I would have said studio. It sounds cooler.
We are moving to a new studio. Say it again.
We're moving to a new room.
Whatever, Brandon.
We're moving to a new studio in a bigger room.
in a bigger room. Yeah,
I got to build it, but
that's fine.
Matter of time.
If you need help, let me know.
It's mostly painting, and
I will paint.
Oh, don't.
I'm better at painting. I'm better at painting these.
I don't like that room color.
No. I'm saying don't let Brandon help you paint.
I painted. I've been a way better painter.
That's true. As long as he's not racing anyone.
It's fine.
Also, the room's not massive to paint, so it's gonna be pretty fast. It.
But it's a
put Brandon in those corners.
Oh gosh. But yeah, you can donate to us. We got some things we want to purchase. That we want to. I mean, we want to.
These chairs are so hard.
I know. I feel bad about that.
Not, just kidding.
Hey, man,
just
I got that. A couple schools on the hook. If I land one, maybe I'll be able to buy some next door.
Not just that. It's like we want this to get as far as possible, as far as the Lord wants to take it. We want it to get there, and it costs money. And unfortunately, we're not all loaded rich. So
if you'd like to see our faces, we'll bring back video.
Yeah, we will bring back video. It's just gonna again cost more money.
And then we gotta buy makeup. And personal trainers and
dresses.
Buy Andrew a towel because he's gonna be sweaty
all the time.
All the time.
The only one here that's like noticeably sweaty is you, Bryce.
Dude, I'm drenched right now. It's so warm. I don't know why.
Because it's almost 70 out today, and you're wearing a sweatshirt.
I did get a head burn on my face.
What?
I got burned. I got a big gap on my head.
A sunburn?
Yeah, man.
A headburn. You just called it a headburn.
It's a headburn. It's on my head.
It's an Audrey headburn.
But you said I got a headburn.
I got
a
headburn.
I was in my head and I let it go. I was like, no, not that won't land. You, and then it did because you said thank you.
Just let me speak the way I want to.
You said you got a headburn on your face, though.
Yeah.
I got a big face.
Because the face is on the head, Bryce. Face is part of the head.
I got a big face, bro.
It's too late.
I got one long face.
It's too late for this.
Hey,
Brandon looks like a horse.
I do. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, if you go look on our YouTube, you'll know.
It's the nose.
I did.
I like that you insulted his nose and not mine.
And the teeth.
That's.
Wait a minute.
You got nice teeth.
What's that supposed to mean?
You got nice teeth.
I don't have big horse teeth. Hey, if there is one tool I want to push all of our listeners to. It's a free tool, and it is the YouVersion Bible app.
Hey, you're on there right now.
I'm on there right now. I'm in their volunteer team. I'm in their volunteer prayer team, and I'm working at getting to their spiritual guidance team.
He's like, he's shimmying his way into the organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go there. It's free. You can find all the translations that you want. There's a crap ton of different languages. You can do Bible plans, Bible in a year plans, specific Bible plans.
And maybe, just maybe, Brandon will pray for you.
I know. Reach out. I'll pray for you.
Through the app.
Through the app.
Or text him. His number
is. You don't have to. Don't text me. I will block you.
He won't. He's too nice.
Yeah. So all of our listeners, it's free. Everyone uses it. But it's a great app. I've fallen back in love with it. Mm-hmm. It's simple. Doesn't really like it, gets to the point for me. So I want you guys to use it too. So go do it. Yeah.
I do.
Do it right now. Go do it right now.
Like this minute?
How do we end this?
Brandon, can you just wrap it up?
How do we wrap it? I don't remember how we wrapped it up.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
This is Elect Exiles.
This has been Outsiders Podcast. Thank you. Hear you next time.
Thanks for listening. We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.